First of all, I just want to thank everybody for their attendance today. And I tell you, this format is what I enjoy very much in order to get information right out directly to the people. And I'll be recording this myself so that the whole thing will be up there for people to know. I have about 15 minutes of prepared remarks. And then after that, I'll open up to anybody that wants to ask any questions at all. Before I became a supervisor, I noticed that in local government, things were done that I thought just didn't look right. I remember Supervisor Flora not only being a board member, but also a county supervisor in Craig County. I always thought that didn't seem right to have two different jobs in two different counties. It seemed like a conflict of interest. Then I remember Mike Altizer, who was on the board, and I'm pretty sure he was part of putting together the Western Virginia Water Authority. And then while he was on the board, he got a job with the Western Virginia Water Authority. Again, there just seemed to be something not right. In addition, about 3 or 4 months ago, while I was on the board, a constituent emailed me along with some of the fire and rescue people and said to me he did not think it was right that Ms. Charlotte Moore should be voting on issues pertaining to fire and rescue when she was in a relationship with Chief Birch. I went to Charlotte Moore to ask her this, and I talked to her personally, and I said I had concerns. Not about the relationship, I don't care, but it's about the conflict of interest that seems imminent. I then had a meeting with our county attorney and county administrator, and neither one had an issue and saw no conflict. Now, I provide this information just as a backdrop to what I'm about to say, because it seems to me that in government, things are done very differently than in the private sector. I think these three small examples would receive a lot more scrutiny in the private sector, and rightfully so. Over the first couple of months when I started as a Roanoke County Supervisor, I received several anonymous letters from employees of Roanoke County. They were very disgruntled and in the letter told me they had lost hope. Now, I didn't know what to do or what to think. Obviously, I could not contact anyone since I didn't know who these people were or were they just bad employees who were disgruntled. I had no way to know. Having been on the board for over 9 months now, with the issues I'm about to discuss, I sense those anonymous letters contained much truth. On July 22nd of this year, as we've discussed before, the five Board of Supervisors, the county attorney, the county administrator, and two assistant administrators went into a hastily put together closed session meeting to discuss serious personnel issues. As I look back to the agenda from July 22nd, there was not a closed session item on the agenda for that night. This item was what's called a walk-on item. This itself seems peculiar now since we found out that the investigation on these personnel issues had started back in January and had been ongoing for about 5 months, which ended around the May timeframe. At least 2 full months had elapsed since then. There should have been plenty of time to plan a meeting with the Board of Supervisors in a more comfortable setting to discuss the issue and ask for our input if it was wanted. I mention a comfortable setting because a small detail of this closed session was that we did not go upstairs, as we normally do for a closed session, where we can sit and discuss matters. Instead, we had a standing meeting where no one was given the impression that we were providing any input or that we were being asked for our opinion. As I later found out, the decision on how to deal with the issues had already been handed down before we were told of the issue. The issues that were brought up in this meeting were that top management in two departments were guilty of infractions, including lying to employees, using vulgar and crude language with other employees, discussions of sexual harassment and innuendos, and the use of county credit cards for personal purchases. The purchases were not huge, but were still used for personal items. The entire investigation had really started when an employee who was later transferred to another job was given a salary increase to match his or her prior job. Comments were made that the county was vulnerable on this. This was no routine personnel matter. As a reminder, these issues, in the words of the then county administrator, were very serious, and he felt he needed to have a meeting with the board to let us know how he was dealing with this issue. Supervisor Church was the most vocal at this meeting after we were told how these personnel issues were dealt with. Mr. Church made the comment, and I quote, "This is unbelievable. This is a joke. The way we're dealing with this punishment is laughable." The county administrator just shrugged his shoulders and said, "Yes, sir," in a very defeated-looking demeanor. Other supervisors also seemed shocked at what we were being told. This ended our board meeting, and as I drove home, I called Supervisor Church and expressed my amazement at what we had just heard and how lenient the county administrator had been in dealing with this. I asked him if he would be willing to meet with the county administrator, who, by the way, was going to be leaving the county in just 9 days. The county administrator had given his notice back in May, about the time the investigation had come to an end. On July 24th, the county administrator and interim county administrator were both present at this meeting with Mr. Butch and myself. We discussed that we wanted to have another closed meeting with just the five supervisors, no one else. On August 12th, the five supervisors met in a closed session to discuss amongst ourselves these charges and how it was dealt with. Without exception, and I stress that, without exception, each supervisor agreed that the charges against these employees were serious and that the way it was dealt was very lenient. In fact, one of the three members, who to this date has not been willing to look at the report, commented to the interim county administrator a few days prior, "I would have fired them." Another supervisor, again, who has not been willing to look at the summary report, was surprised that we had not all made a bigger deal of these issues when we heard it for the first time back on July 22nd. So the issue with these three supervisors was not the issues were not a big deal, but that this was a personnel issue, and we do not deal with personnel issues. That is correct. Day-to-day personnel issues we do not deal with. Serious issues we do deal with. The fact is the county supervisors got involved with another employee that was fired several years ago. Discussions were had between the county administrator and the county board on the issue of firing that employee. In that case, the right decision was made by the county administrator, which again makes me wonder why such leniency on the current issue. Due to the fact that we are losing confidence in how the administration was handling this issue, Mr. Church asked me if I would like to talk to the investigator that was hired by the county attorney and find out for ourselves what his recommendations were. I wanted to see for myself, had something been left out? Was something hidden? We were denied by the county attorney to meet with the investigator. We were told that the investigator was the client of the county attorney. The county attorney specifically told the investigator not to meet with us. This closed the door to the meeting, our meeting, one-on-one with the investigator. Next, we asked to see the written report by the investigator. There was some hesitancy, but the county attorney then allowed us to view the summary report, which was about 5 or 6 pages. We viewed the summary report in the county attorney's office. We read this report, Mr. Church and I, on August 28th. After reading the summary report, both Supervisor Church and myself were even more astonished at the findings. It was at this point when I read this report that I wondered how this employee or employees could still be working for the county. Now, after reading the summary report, we pleaded with the other supervisors to at least read the report. If even one of these items was correct, these violations were not only serious, but also ruined the trust between high-level managers and their employees. During these past weeks and months, the information that's been brought to my attention by employees over several different departments talks about how employees were denigrated and spoken of very negatively in loud tones in front of other employees. In addition, the words used by employees to describe their department heads were unflattering and show that they had an extremely low opinion of them. In addition, discussions of allegations of affairs, sexual harassment, sexual innuendos was a constant theme from a majority of those who provided information. There were also discussions of violations of expense reimbursements and long periods away during office hours engaged in non-work-related activities. Additionally, discussions on how employees were told to work on personal projects and outside interests of their managers during office hours left me speechless. Finally, it was expressed to me that employees were told that if they were ever asked, they should provide positive feedback about their managers, regardless of how they felt. It is important to note that Supervisor Church and myself wanted to deal with these issues in private with the other supervisors. All we had ever asked was that the other three supervisors read the investigative report with us. We did not ask anyone to agree with us or make any other decision. It was important for us to make sure that all of us knew exactly what was in the report and that the words in that report should be etched on our conscience. No other supervisor was willing to even read the summary report. Since then, Supervisor Church and I have asked to read the detailed report. Both of us approached the county attorney in his office about the detailed report. His refusal to let us see the report was based on the fact that information gathered from employees was done by promising confidentiality and protection from retaliation. I answered that I would also follow that same protocol and keep all names confidential, and I was never going to retaliate against someone that had the courage to bring this information forward. I asked the county attorney specifically, did the employees think this retaliation was going to come from the Board of Supervisors or from the employee's boss? He said both. Now, my thoughts were that the employees really feared for their jobs and being retaliated by their managers. Having had many discussions with many employees, that seems to be more the case. In addition, with this investigation, many employees did not come forth voluntarily. They were ordered to meet with the county administrator and the county attorney to discuss these issues. Once they had provided the information, many of them felt as if they were left to defend for themselves. In fact, employees even made comments that the administration knew they were now in the crosshairs of their supervisors. Now, this is interesting. I actually would like to credit Chairman Joe McNamara. We haven't always agreed on the issues, and on this one specifically, but he has made this issue public. Only after refusing to meet and review this summary report did he send out a censure or a condemnation on Mr. Church and myself. And after doing that, the papers picked up the story, the media picked up the story, and this has gotten incredible exposure. And this is where we have gotten 11 different people coming to us with information over 5 different departments. Now, in closing, and then I'll take your questions, I think we owe the employees of Roanoke County, those people that come to work every day and put forth a full day's work, we owe them a much better working environment, one that they're not scared to be in and one that they don't fear for their jobs. Many that we've talked to actually fear that they will lose their job. Something will be done that they will lose their job. They need to be guaranteed that if they have an issue or concern and see something that is not proper and come forth courageously, they will get an honest hearing on the matter, and that matter will be immediately dealt with in the correct manner. Again, I can't stress enough that employees are putting up with this type of behavior, and I hear over the last several years in fear of losing their jobs. Those in management need to understand that this will not be tolerated. The only responsibility that an employee has to their employer is to perform the functions of their office and do it to the best of their ability in a safe and friendly work environment.